In Chang Rae Lee's latest novel, The Baltimore of Today serves as the inspiration for what Baltimore and the world might look like 100 years or so from now. But the Baltimore that animates Mr. Lee in his novel isn't the Baltimore of the Inner Harbor or Harbor East or Fells Point or Little Italy. It's the Baltimore that he and thousands of others encounter every day as they enter Charm City on the train from New York or Philadelphia, the gritty, economically depressed East Baltimore neighborhood just north of the Johns Hopkins Hospital. Chang Rae Lee imagines this area repopulated by laborers from China, whose ancestors escaped a China that had become environmentally untenable. It's one part of a trifurcated society that includes these laborers, the rich that they serve, and lawless chaos in between. The book is called On Such a Full Sea. I'm Tom Hall. Chang Rae Lee will be at the Ivy Bookshop tonight to talk about his new book, and this morning he joins us on the phone from New York. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. So tell us about your train rides. You teach at Princeton up in New Jersey, and talk about taking the train from D.C. or Baltimore up to New York and what you see and how that has inspired this novel.
Well, you know, I've been taking that train ride from New York. I grew up in New York to D.C. pretty much all my adult life. And, you know, this is probably the past 30 years or so. And really, I realized that for 30 years I'd seen that neighborhood, and for 30 years it had, you know, undergone some changes here and then, but pretty much it had stayed the same, which is, you know, sort of burnt out or abandoned. And I saw that one day I saw on the train that it again was an abandoned looking section, and I did some more research about that neighborhood in East Baltimore, and I got the idea that that boy, you know, it would be great if this neighborhood were somehow revitalized again and repopulated. And at the same time, I was trying to think about doing a novel about China, and sort of the two ideas kind of melded all at once. And I thought, boy, wouldn't it be interesting if a ruined village in China were brought over here en masse and allowed to inhabit this place. And of course, I thought that would never happen in contemporary times, but maybe in a very different future when those people would be welcomed and perhaps even needed by a very different America, that could be the case. And so that's sort of how the premise of the book was born.
Well, you've talked a lot about this book throughout the media, throughout the country, but because we're the NPR affiliate in Baltimore, I have to ask you, is Baltimore all that much different when you see it from the train than Trenton or Newark or Philly or the other stops on that route?
Well, that's what I've been telling people all along. This book is not really about Baltimore. It's about a section of Baltimore that is replicated all over. And as a going on book tour, you see it in St. Louis, in East Philadelphia, and obviously places like Detroit, Youngstown, Buffalo. I mean, all across the former industrial, belt, there are these very forlorn, very troubled neighborhoods, and with obviously lots of legacies that have contributed to why those places are like that, having to do with, you know, sometimes racism, redlining, the post-industrial vacuum. But Baltimore is more an inspiration for the kinds of troubles that a future America faces than obviously being, you know, Baltimore itself. In the book, it's called B-more, sort of a hopeful name, although the folks in B-more really aren't asked to be more.
It's interesting. Are you aware of the evolution of that term, B-more? Because I've lived here now for 32 years, and when I first moved here, the abbreviation, the contraction that people used for Baltimore was Balto, B-A-L-T-O.
Right.
And it's gradually changed over the last, I'd say, 8 or 9 years to be more. Were you aware of that when you it's spelled differently. People here spell that B-M-O-R-E. You
right.
spell be more in your book B-M-O-R.
Right. I wasn't aware of that, although I'd had a couple of friends from Baltimore, and they would say, you know, certain sort of accent Balmore like that, mm-hmm. Which I had heard before. And so it was a combination of that neighborhood, but also the what I thought would be the ironic term BMOR for this particular labor facility in the future.
Yeah.
So it just worked out fine, and for the purposes of the book.
Tell us what BMOR looks like.
Well, it's pretty much a walled part of the city, and if you can imagine a kind of campus, a factory campus that has, you know, the inhabitants live in the row houses that we know in East Baltimore, all fixed up. But there's a central production facility where inside they raise fishes and vegetables for that elite charter class that you mentioned. So it looks much like probably the Baltimore of today, quite decent, cleaned up, but a highly regulated place in which there's really no leaving because no one would want to leave. Outside the walls, it's very, very dangerous, chaotic. Anything can happen. So inside, they feel that they have this a safer, more secure life.
And the character who is the protagonist in the book, the story, her story is told. Her name is Fawn, and she does make the quite radical decision to leave the walls and go in search of her boyfriend, Reg. Tell us a little bit about Fawn.
Well, Fawn is a 16-year-old girl. She's a fish tank diver in the tanks where they raise the fish, and she cleans the tanks and takes care of the fish, feeds them. She's quite skilled that way, and quite known as quite a skilled diver. But she decides to leave because her boyfriend Reg disappears one day, and it's rumored that Reg has some genetic makeup that makes him impervious to the disease that everyone gets in the society called C, and everyone dies from eventually. And so he disappears without word, and she decides that that she's just going to set out into the so-called wilderness and see what happens in just finding him. What's interesting about Reg, of course, is that Reg, Fan is of Chinese descent, but Reg has, as the narrator says, some indigenous blood, which is a mix of African American, white, maybe some Latino blood, and so that's something that sets him apart.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My guest this morning, Chang-Rae Lee. His new book is called On Such a Full Sea. He'll be at the Ivy Bookshop tonight. In the incipit of your book, you quote Shakespeare from Julius Caesar, and you write, or Shakespeare writes, and you quote, "We at the height are ready to decline. There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures." On what full sea, that's the title of the book, on what full sea are we currently perched? Is this book prescriptive about what we should be doing?
Well, it's certainly expressive of a lot of my concerns about certain problems in our society, certain issues that I feel are need to be addressed. Some of them in the book are include income inequality, the entrenchment of classes derived from that income inequality, problems with and lack of health care. A mania of wealth and owning things, and in the quote, is Brutus talking about taking advantage of a somewhat precarious and maybe even dangerous situation or time, like a flood, but using that to push forward, to look for a different way and a certain kind of success. He's talking about political success, but in the book I use it for a certain kind of pushing forward for the society. And Fan, the story's heroine, is of course at a dangerous crossroads, and so she's the one who decides that this is the moment that she'll set out into a new future.
Is dystopia easier to imagine than utopia for a writer because of the inherent conflicts and when everything is a mess?
Well, fiction and literature is always really about problems. about when things aren't going right, about the skewed society or personality. I mean, otherwise we'd be writing Hallmark cards all day,
I suppose so.
which is, no, it's not that people don't like happy stories, but people want complication. They want, the intricacies of life. It's no fun to read about someone who, made good on his education, made a lot of money, and died a happy man.
Right. But
What
is
we need,
it,
and what why we need the complication in those stories is we need a different way into the true, nuances of life, which include, of course, happiness, but also a lot of heartbreak, a lot of trauma, a lot of trouble, both private and public. And so I think that's why dystopian fictions appeal to people, not because they want to see the world in a bad way, but they understand that the world, in certain respects, in certain levels, is in a bad way. And a sort of a warning to ourselves that if we don't pay attention closely enough, that it could get worse. There's so much wonderful stuff going on in the world and in Baltimore and all of these cities. But if we don't pay attention to certain areas of our lives and of our landscape, I think that's when we get into trouble.
Yeah, because I was struck by, all of the people working now, contemporaneous with us, are working. So many people are working to make things better. And in fact, you can make the argument that things are much better now than they were 100 years ago in terms of, the creature comforts of life that we have. But here in this setting, 100 or so years from now, cancer is still there. Whereas there are people right here at Johns Hopkins, past that, in that train ride that you take all the time, thinking that, there will be cures for that sort of thing, in the fairly near future, and the technology that we have that allows us to do things that we could never have dreamed of doing before. Yet, in Be More and in the world that you create in this book, so much of that has stayed static. We haven't seemed to make much progress.
It's not so much the improvements, and of course there'll constantly be wonderful improvements to our lives, but I think the book wants to get at some basic ideas about constraints that we put on ourselves, constraints of class, constraints of income, where people are sort of trapped in their circumstance, whether they have means or not. And that's one of the, I think that's one of the ideas of the book, and about these particular sort of islands or cloisters of living, in which people aren't communicating anymore. They don't care about their larger world because they can't or don't want to. They're essentially cut off from one another, and obviously a certain kind of empathetic or humane feeling. And that's, I think, one of the things that it's not that I think that we are getting a little cut off from one another with all our technology, in our pursuit of our virtual pleasures, and that's one of, I think, the anxieties of the novel.
Chang Rae Lee, his new book is called On Such a Full Sea. You can meet Chang Rae Lee tonight at the Ivy Bookshop on Falls Road in North Baltimore. He'll talk about his book and sign copies beginning at 7 o'clock. Come to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning for the details. And when you visit our website, we'll also have a link to a video of a landscape architect who has some ideas about what can be done with the land surrounding that stretch of railroad tracks that lead into Penn Station. Tomorrow, I'll take a tour of the new digs at the Single Carrot Theater, their new show opens, as well as their new home on Friday night. Hope you can join us tomorrow morning on Maryland Morning. Until then, thanks so much for being with us. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.